T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
People, look alive! It's showtime!
Now live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios, it's Chuck and Winkler on The Fan.
So shut up and listen.
Doors open in 3, 2, 1.
When you come in on Monday and you're not feeling real well, does anyone ever say to you, sounds like someone has a case of the Mondays?
No. No, man.
Yeah, I mean, they're very well coached. Obviously, that lineage they have, they don't necessarily hang their hat on one specific defense the entire season. You know, they're going to adjust according to their own personnel and who they're playing and try and take away what you do well every single week. And much like we've seen going against the Patriots over the years, I think Coach is a fantastic mind. And, you know, they obviously have some great players. They added some guys to the mix, pass rushers. I think, you know, they got some young guys in the secondary playing well. You know, it's a very good defense. They've, you know, played 4 games with a bye, you know, only lost to Kansas City, who's obviously, you know, started off the season really well. And you know, on the other side of the ball, obviously they got a great quarterback and Matt and some playmakers. And you know, we haven't beat them in a couple of years, so it's going to be a good test for us.
It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman, Ryan Horvath. This is Monday. That means Packers Lions Monday Night Football.
Raise the curtain to the band and someone say lights. The NFL hits the big stage tonight. The league's oldest rivals are at it again. It's Packers and Bears. Let the battle begin.
Close enough, but just want to hear a little Hank Williams. Hank Jr.
Monday night.
Yeah, before he got banned.
Yeah, but then he brought it back.
Yeah, but this is the song that I want to hear. Yeah. Frank, Al, and Dan, and we're ready to go. And Frank, Al, and Dan, and we're ready for the show.
He just, like, did a concert at the Oneida Casino up in Green Bay.
Oh,
like,
yeah?
Recently, yeah.
What, at, like, 11 in the afternoon?
You know, some of those, like, artists, they'll perform, like, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon at, like, Crystal Grand and the Dells, the Charlie Prides of the world.
Yeah, Charlie Pride.
Yeah, he's one of those guys, too. Like those country artists who were big in the 70s and 80s. 3 o'clock concert.
I'm excited for what's coming up in 30 minutes. We're going to talk to Ryan Wood here momentarily. And then I'm going to trash Monday Night Football for as long as possible. Because I think it sucks.
Well, the presentation, the games.
I think the NFL neutered it, and it sucks now.
Yeah.
And so it's Monday Night Football. We should be all charged up, right? But
well, those guys should be.
It's just another game,
well,
guys.
The guys who did Monday Night Football used to be stars, household names. Guys who, you'd be looking forward to going home and watching or listening to Howard Cosell, Frank Gifford, you know, Dandy Don, those guys, you know, all the broadcasters, you know, Al Michaels when he did it. Now it's a bunch of faceless, nameless people on ESPN. It is just the whole entire network for that matter. But I mean, I just feel like the Monday Night broadcast is just blah.
We'll get into that about 30 minutes.
You might as well have Sam Rosen doing all the games.
I'll talk to Ryan Wood coming up in about 15 minutes, our Green and Gold Insider. Some injuries of note tonight. No Devontae Adams again. No Robert Tonyan, for those of you that bought the jersey. And then no Darnell Savage, which I think they do have a lot of secondary depth. I think Will Redmond's been good, but he's getting the start over Josh Jackson. Did the Packers quit on him? That's your boy, Horvath. Where's Josh Jackson?
He got a little run last week, finally.
Okay.
They played him at the safety position a little bit, but yeah, right. They like Tremont over him.
Yeah, no one likes Josh Jackson anymore.
Yeah, well, I thought coming out of Iowa, he'd be the guy. Didn't you?
Yeah, I wanted. Remember when they passed on him and they took Jair and we were all like, oh, Josh Jackson's there. Which is just a typical case of you pretending like you know what you're talking about when we're watching guys combine and they're 4-3 and they're bench press. And
yeah.
We're like, oh, wait, that's why, because Jair Alexander is a lot better. I don't think they've given up on him, but I don't think he's the pro that – he's not picking things up as quickly.
Yeah, he's His the time is going to be running out on him very soon too.
Seems like he gets burned a lot, right? When he is in there, like we notice he's in there, which is a problem.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're like, "Oh, hey, he's on the field," but
yeah, the time is going to—he's going to have expiration date where they're going to move on eventually from him because he's not making plays and you can't trust him. But I thought coming out of Iowa, because I thought at Iowa, man, the guy was a fantastic player.
He was.
He was making plays. Geez, I remember the huge game he had against Ohio State at Kinnick Stadium. And I thought, man, and then when the Packers got him, I thought, wow, this guy's the real deal. We haven't seen it yet.
Then he had like a touchdown right away, too, either in the preseason or right away he like caught a block punt. And then, oh, my God, Josh Jackson's going to be the greatest.
Yeah, that's against Minnesota, yeah.
And then it just sort of has went away. But maybe tonight's an opportunity for him to step up. We also want one of these receivers to step up. We'll talk to Ryan Wood about that coming up. I don't have a lot of confidence in the receivers past Devontae. This needs to be a night where Geronimo Allison steps up.
Well, you're putting your eggs in the wrong basket there. If you're depending on Geronimo Allison to come out and get you 7 or 8 or 9 catches, forget it, man.
Was it going to be MVS? Because all they do with him is, hey, you, run deep.
I think what it has to be is it's going to have to be all those guys. It's going to be MVS having some catches. The tight ends are going to have to contribute. It's going to be Geronimo Allison. It's going to have to be all those guys. Hey, this last game against Dallas, even though Aaron Rodgers didn't throw a touchdown pass, there were 8 or 9 guys that Rodgers was spreading the love to around. So I think the same thing's going to have to happen. He's going to have to come in there and guys. Hey, Rodgers has always said, though, he has always said about his offense, he doesn't come into a game, the game plan isn't coming into one game and say, hey, let's feed Devontae the football, or let's feed Randall Cobb the football when he was here, or Jordy. Or any of it says he's always said, hey, we always take what the defense gives us, and some guys will be open some days, some guys might not be open other days. So, but I think you need all those guys. You can't have anybody in the receiving corps have a bad game though.
It's Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. How do you think the Packers will do tonight? Bill in St. Louis has sent me a text. I gave out my phone number again last week.
Mm-hmm.
If you ever are looking for it, just download a podcast. I'm sure it'll find it. I'll probably do it again this week at some point. Maybe a credit card, too. Who wants to know my son's social security number? It's a fresh social.
I don't want your son's. I'll take yours.
Mine ain't no good. I'll give you my son's. It's fresh. He says, I don't buy Stafford or this Lions team. Packers 24-13. Your prediction again, Frames?
27-16, Green Bay.
Harvey?
I'm going to change mine. 24-21 Packers. They're not going to cover the 4 points.
All right, I went 15-11.
Yeah, I was like hell-bent on picking the Packers to win by a touchdown coming in here this morning. But the problem is I've been the positive one all year, right? Week one against the Bears, I think I was one of 50 that predicted the Packers to actually win that game. Same thing with Minnesota. Everybody said they're going to lose this game. Then everybody started jumping on my bandwagon Thursday Night Football against the Eagles, and what happened? They lost. I'm fine with people being confident, but everybody calling and saying this Lions team sucks, Matthew Stafford stinks, and, you know, Matt Patricia's not a good NFL coach. I'm starting to get a little bit worried because anytime everybody gets a little confident around here, what happens?
Mm-hmm.
So
I see a lot of a young Bart Winkler in Horvat these days.
How's that?
Well, he just seems to be a very angry man.
Well, I feel like with the Twitter, I was watching him fight this weekend.
No.
I feel like the same thing. You know, with this 4.5 point spread.
I've stepped off Twitter a little bit.
I know you have.
I haven't gotten in too many fights.
I've noticed that.
And it's like all Horvat that's doing all the fighting
days.
Of the show.
She's kind of inherited.
I didn't get in any fights. I gave away 15 winners in the past 2 weeks, and then I gave away one. What I did was I went against Wisconsin, which I knew was a bad decision. I knew Wisconsin was going to win the football game, but I thought Michigan State would show up because they have one of the best coaching staffs in all of America. Did up until the last 2 years, but the problem is they don't know who's calling the plays over there. So I give away one pick that's against Wisconsin sports, and then, you know, Joey Badger has to tweet at me, what did you see there? And I said, you want to know what I saw there? The last 11 games that Mark D'Antoni and Michigan State has lost by double digits, what have they done? They've won 10 outright and covered the spread in another one. 11-0 against the spread following a double-digit loss. That's what I saw there,
but did
Joey
you see
Badger
the,
fan.
Did you see the line move toward Michigan State Saturday, though?
I don't pay attention to that. I don't play teams. I play numbers is what I tell people. Yeah, I did see that. But
They moved down to 8.5.
I had a little bit more. I went against Michigan State twice this year, and they covered both times. So I was like, I'm going to go, and I made a bad decision.
Let me tell you something. Decision. The Packers and Lions, that spread being 4.5 at Lambeau, reminds me of one of the worst gambling losses ever. Packers were up by 6. They had the ball in their own territory in the final seconds of the game. All right? They took a snap in the final seconds of the game, like they were going to punt the football, and the punter ran around in the end zone and stepped out of the end zone for a two-point safety.
Remember that.
Meaning the Lions, this was a playoff game.
Yeah.
The Lions covered the point, covered the 4.5 by getting 2 points, and the final score ended up, you won because the punter intentionally stepped out of the end zone and took a safety. Horrible way to lose.
And you know what? Going back to our podcast, Bart, that everybody should go and download right now at radio.com sports. We'll have two new fresh ones coming for you guys, college football and NFL picks. We both gave out the Jets. And not only did I give out the Jets to cover the 7 points, I told everybody to take the money line plus 300.
No, I'm pretty sure I gave the Cowboys.
You went Cowboys? Yeah, I went Jets.
I gave the Cowboys too.
And I said, take the money line plus 300. So right there, I made everybody $300 and it's still not good enough.
Yeah, well.
Just like my home life. You know, nothing's ever good enough. Wake
well,
up.
That's always the case, it seems.
Do the laundry,
see, don't
do
you,
the cooking.
Don't you see a younger Bart Winkler here?
Yeah, well, I mean, you never complain about your home life, though.
Well, just always angry.
I'm not angry.
Bringing his Twitter wars to the air.
That wasn't even a Twitter war. Me and all those guys are friends. It's just, you know.
That's some of them.
Well, the problem is, like, I'm upset after a loss, and so I don't need anybody to be like, you lost the game. It's like, yeah, I know. I lost $150 that I could have bought a pair of sneakers with.
Harvey will take a picture of that, you know, a website where it's documenting all his victories. They'll show the 15 in a row that he's won.
Yeah, some jerk goes, yeah, rough weekend. And I went 17-13 and still walked away with $80. I said, I guess, but I still profited. A rough weekend for you, pal, is probably like 0-32. And you know what? If you look at anybody, any of these guys, anybody that you follow, everybody was on the same losses. Everybody had the Browns yesterday.
It was a nuts all weekend.
Right. Vegas beat us this week. It happens. Why do you think? Here's the thing. Ryan Horvath, I live in a two-bedroom apartment. Las Vegas. Look at Caesars. Look at the mansions in Las Vegas. There's a reason why those casinos and those bookmakers are living in mansions.
Well, then we're
in
the idiots.
Casinos that big, and I'm living in West Dallas. Okay?
Then come on, don't be trash in West Dallas.
Well, I'm not, but I'm not.
Then we're the idiots for betting then.
Well, no.
We're the idiots for betting these games.
I'm just not giving away free picks anymore.
You never hear of, like, you're right about the casinos, and you never hear, like, boy, my marriage was in rough shape until I started gambling. Really, really saved my marriage.
Until my wife found out about the credit card bills.
You always hear, my gambling debts destroyed my marriage. You never hear the other way.
Which is great because if you go on some of these sites, like these gambling sites, they got the touts that try to sell you picks, and it's like a lady and her husband, and it's like, she hasn't looked at you the same, has she, the last 2 weeks? Get free picks tonight. And I'm like, Yeah. I don't think that's how it works. Hey, babe, guess what? The Jets covered the 7.
Yeah.
Pop the blue chew tonight.
Yeah.
I got another listener that texts me.
Yeah.
After I gave out my phone number, he said, I got Marvin Jones for 150 yards. I've got Stafford throwing 3 picks. Packers win 24-9. Send me your routing number when you get a chance.
Oh, my goodness. Well, if you're going to give out your phone number, I might as well give out your routing number and your Social Security. Oh, I like to see what the over and under is for Stafford passing yardage tonight, because I have a feeling that might go a little over, either by chasing or because, you know, he always lights it up in the fourth quarter.
I'll try to check for you. I can check at the website, but they locked my account.
Did they?
Yeah.
Now, you personally locked yours out, though.
Yeah,
you had them.
Yeah.
I knew a guy who he had a habit of going down to the casino too much, so he had himself personally banned from going to the casino.
259.5 yards.
Yeah.
Matt Stafford.
Yeah, kind of like the over there. Kind of like the over, even against this passing defense.
Rodgers is 265.
I like the under.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of like the under. But I like Stafford, I think, getting some garbage yards at the end.
Is it safe to say if Rodgers goes over 265, Packers lose this game? I don't want him dropping back 40 times.
Well, but who's, you know, depending if Jones can run against these guys.
Aaron Jones, 69.5.
Oh, man.
Rushing.
I don't know.
But, you know, he's either gone way under or way over on something like that. I would think the over would be the play there.
Receiving yards, Aaron Jones, 30.5. Receiving yards, Geronimo, 49.5.
Doesn't Jones have to have at least 100 yards combined yardage?
Yes.
To win this game tonight?
I think he's going to catch a lot of passes out of the backfield. I predict like 4 or 5 grabs for him.
He's got to do it in both areas.
What's the latest on Jamal Williams? I know he's out of the concussion protocol and he practiced, but is he going to get a full workload, you think?
You know who we should ask about that? It's probably our Green and Gold insider, Ryan Wood, and he will join us coming up in 3 minutes. So we'll ask him all of that. You can continue to text me if you have my number. If you don't, it's 920-960-6762. You can tweet us at 105.7 FM, The Fan.
You don't read that number as quickly as you used to. You used to breeze through that number hoping nobody caught it. Now you're just liberally giving out that number.
Check my phone. Check my phone saved.
The Ray Nitschke of the Fan.
It's all. They're all saved under listener.
Okay.
Listener Bill in St. Louis. Just got another listener text me. Fat Stafford throws two picks. Give me your wife's number.
Oh, man. Well.
See, for real.
Go ahead. You're lucky that number is not traceable. You don't want people showing up at your doorstep.
Yeah, Facebook's not cool anymore. Nobody wants to tweet.
Yeah.
My phone's going off the hook with text. I should probably change it, huh?
Change what? You probably shouldn't give your number out anymore.
Do you know why I gave out my number?
I don't know.
I don't have a lot of friends.
Not enough ways to contact you on Facebook. You're on every social media base possible.
Yeah, you can DM me. Yeah. Slide right in there.
Instagram. Can you message on Instagram? I'm not
you
on
can.
There.
Yeah. You can. Bart okay. Winkler on Instagram.
Or Facebook, but you don't use Facebook too much.
No, I'm not a big Facebook guy, but my messenger's open.
Yeah. Yeah, I've kind of scaled back on Facebook a little bit.
I'm just all about trying to... See, I got into this business because I had a bad childhood and I didn't have a lot of friends. So this gives me some authority.
Oh, that's
power.
Not true.
Yeah.
That's not true.
Yeah. Well, that's why everybody else did.
But that's not true with you.
No, I'm the one exception. All the rest of you guys are big nerds and losers and had no friends.
Yeah.
And now you sit in front of a microphone and think you're the boss just for giving out lukewarm takes and easy predictions. You got going on a limb sometimes. I took this game to be 15 to 11. I gave up my phone number. Go out on a damn limb. Live a little.
Yeah.
Ryan Wood next.
Let's get the latest from Green Bay with our insider Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette as he joins Chuck and Winkler on 105.7 FM, The Fan. Brought to you by the law offices of Thomas Morola on the web at morolalaw.com.
Ryan Wood joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, the Green Bay Press Gazette, PackersNews.com. We'll chat with him again tomorrow at this time after we recap what goes down tonight. A little Monday Night Football for the Green Bay Packers. One of two times this year. They've got the Vikings, right? Monday night later in the season.
Right before Christmas.
Right before Christmas. Yeah, so a double dose of...
Sunday Night Football coming up against Kansas City in a few
Sunday
weeks.
Sunday Night Football. I'll be there.
Yeah.
In section like 975, which I paid like $300 for.
$300?
Maybe 200.
Oh, come on.
It's a lot of money. Packer fans travel well.
That expensive?
It's not cheap.
Yeah, I was looking for Bucks opening night tickets on the internet the other day. Plenty of seats to be had. You get the nosebleed sections for like $50.
I just got another text from a new listener after I gave up my phone number. He says, hey, it's Drew. With a sloppy game prediction like 15 to 11, I hope you chew it and do it at halftime player. Ryan Wood joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. My prediction was 15 to 11. I think these guys gave more of a standard prediction. I think tonight, Ryan, might be a weird night. The Lions are a team that we don't know a lot about. They are going to present their challenges. The Packers seemingly have the same sort of issues that they had against Dallas. Stop the run. And then no Devontae Adams. What do you think, as far as the Lions, are the biggest challenges that they face tonight for the Packers?
Well, the biggest thing is that they had a bye week to prepare. So, you know, the Packers have a long week, so to speak, because they have an extra day. But the Lions have had 2 weeks. They got to sit home and watch the Dallas Packers game. Last week and prepare accordingly off that. So you're always at a disadvantage when you're going against a team that's had a bye to prepare.
Now, last week it was Aaron Jones who had the big week in place of Devontae Adams offensively. Can any of that receiving core, are any of those guys capable at this point of having a bust-out game and having for one night at least, a Devontae-type game?
Yeah, sure, they're capable. Marquez Adams Scantling has shown flashes. Jarambo Allison, less this year when he's been in the slot than years past when he's been on the perimeter, has shown that he can be productive in this league. The buzzword with them, the key with them that we have not really seen is consistency. We haven't seen them bring it every week. We've seen them be able to do it, capable. But they've got to figure out how to level off that production so that it's there all the time, and obviously this would be a great week to start because they're gonna it's hard in this league to win a game when your wideouts have four catches combined. And that's what they were able to do last week in Dallas. But that's a hard recipe to follow each week and win. So to get more production out of those guys is going to be key.
Talking with Ryan Wood. You can follow him on Twitter, by Ryan Wood, Green Bay Press Gazette, PackersNews.com. The latest on Jamal Williams, I'm wondering if he should be like 100% to play tonight, because I think if you are the Packers, you were able to win a game with Aaron Jones basically running the offense through Aaron Jones, the seven catches against Dallas, the four touchdowns on the ground. Do the Packers look to try to do that again, or would they want to try to avoid that? Because if I'm the Lions, I'm thinking, well, I know what I got to do here. I got to shut down Aaron Jones. So the Packers can either scale back a little bit and try to beat them other ways, or they could lean into it and say, Aaron Jones is this good, we're going to try to beat Detroit with Aaron Jones.
I think that might be the most interesting question of the night. And the reason for that, I think tonight's a really great litmus test of how Matt LaFleur plans to handle and approach Aaron Jones in terms of usage. You know, we've heard Matt LaFleur kind of sound a lot like Mike McCarthy in terms of the overall big picture with Aaron Jones, which is to keep him fresh, preserve him for late in the season. With that said, in five games, Aaron Jones under Matt LaFleur has his two top touches in his career in three seasons. Minnesota when he had 27 touches, and last week when he had 26. So we've seen Matt LaFleur have more flexibility, especially early in the season, to increase that number and to ride Aaron Jones early in the season more than we ever saw from Mike McCarthy. But the big question to me is, does he double up on that? Does he do two consecutive weeks of that? Because it is very similar circumstances tonight. The one difference being, obviously, that Jamal Williams is available. But Aaron Jones is still the top playmaker in this offense. Davante Adams is still out. And your best chance, if you just look at week six on an island, your best chance to score points and to win would be to ride Aaron Jones the way they did last week. So it'll be really interesting. I don't know which way that'll go, but I think that we'll learn something tonight on just how significant Matt LaFleur finds the need to preserve Aaron Jones over the course of all 16.
I feel with LaFleur, with what he brings for the offense, I don't think he's unveiled everything out of his offensive package just yet. Just get that feeling.
No, it's week six. I don't think so either. And you're probably not going to see that till past the midway point of the season. You know, that there's one, even an offense that isn't new, you see a lot of unscouted looks through the first half of the year. But two, this is an offense that is still incorporating a lot of things for the first time. So there's a lot of stuff, back of the playbook stuff that, you know, it's still there. And I imagine that Matt LaFleur will pull it out at some point and put it on the field and reveal it when the time is right.
Talking with Ryan Wood, by Ryan Wood on Twitter. We'll check in with him tomorrow, as well as the Packers have the Lions coverage continuing all day long here on The Fan. No Darnell Savage tonight either, as we look at the injury report, which was very expansive this week. Davante Adams out, as we've talked about. Robert Tonyan out too. Do they feel pretty good with Will Redmond back there and some of these other guys to replace at least for one game, or however long it's going to be, the production from Darnell Savage, who's had a great start to his career?
I thought Will Redmond played really, really well in Dallas. His play speed was really, really impressive. His ability to be in the right place at the right time was impressive. Obviously, he had that interception wiped out from a penalty off the deflection in the end zone. But to me, the most impressive play, I think it was late in the first quarter, when he single-handedly took away the read option from Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott. He pressed Prescott the way that you need to, and then when the pitch came, he was quick enough to get out and cut off the quarter against Zeke. I mean, that's the type of play that, I mean, you don't see a lot of safeties make that play. So it was kind of an eye-opener to me. yeah, if he plays the way he did in Dallas, and it sure looks like he's going to be the one spelling Darnell Savage Jr. tonight, I think they're going to be in okay shape. And it'll just be interesting. We talked about consistency with the wideout. I mean, can a young guy like Will Redmond show the consistency and bring it each week? We'll have to find out tonight.
The Packer run defense, I mean, I thought they did a nice job on Elliott last week, although the Cowboys were in catch-up mode, so maybe that had something to do with it. But, you know, against the Lions run game, not a bad Detroit running game. They haven't had a 1,000-yard rusher since Reggie Bush did it back in 2013. But the Lion running game doesn't see all that bad. I know they got Stafford, but they can run the ball a little bit too.
Kerryon Johnson is a force. He's a guy that they're going to have to reckon with. And I think that last week was much more a byproduct of, one, the Cowboys catching up, but two, even when the game was, you know, the couple series that the game was in hand, the Cowboys weren't catching up last week. Jason Garrett did not come out deciding to pound the rock and uses Ezekiel Elliott a lot. He came out kind of riding Dak Prescott from the very beginning. Zeke, I think, had only 12 carries. He had 67 yards, or maybe it was five plus like a carry. So when they did use Elliott, he got his yardage. They just didn't give them the ball enough. So to me, the Packers' run defense is still a significant question, and they've got another quality running back coming in tonight. So, you know, I think that in the pass defense, especially the opportunistic way that this Packers secondary and the pass rush has played, it's a really good matchup for them against Matthew Stafford, who, yes, is a very talented arm. He can make all the throws, but some of those throws that he can make are to the other team. He makes poor decisions and is risky with the football from time to time, and that hurts an offense, obviously. We've seen that over the course of his career, not good against a defense like this Packers defense that is opportunistic. So I would think that they try to run the ball more than the Cowboys did last week, and not just because of the catch-up, but from the very beginning, I would think that the Lions would try to establish the run, try to establish Kerryon Johnson, and we'll see if they can do that.
Chuck, your prediction tonight?
My prediction, 27-16, I think the Packers win. They pull away late.
Horvat?
24-21, Mason Crosby field goal.
How about you, Ryan Wood?
I've got 31-24 in a game that is close. I think that it's going to be a close game because, one, the Lions, they do have that extra week to prepare. But, two, I mean, this is a Lions team that's won four straight against the Packers, which just does not sound possible. I mean,
we went through it. We decided three of those games don't count.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. In fact, the last two seasons don't count.
Yeah, last two seasons didn't happen.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, they only won them on paper, not in reality, I guess. But, I mean, the last time the Lions won four straight was 1983. It's been a minute. So, I don't see five straight. I got 31-24 Packers, but I do think it's going to be a close game.
I almost want to take the Lions. There's something I don't like about tonight.
Well, it's because the spread is so low, and when the point spread is set so low for the home team to be favored by, you know, 3.5, 4.5 points.
Yeah, but it's nothing to do with Vegas.
It's like when, like yesterday, Houston was a 4.5 point underdog at home against Kansas City. Something told you to take Houston in that game, and Houston won the game outright. I think the same thing here. I mean, the Lions scares me a little bit. I feel more comfortable the Packers were 7 or 8 point favorites in this one.
So instead, I'm going to go 15-11. That's my official prediction.
So 15-11 is interesting. So you got five field goals and you've got...
No, there's going to be a bunch of missed 2-point conversions.
Oh, well, that's...
Or if Crosby's going to miss an extra point because he's overperformed this year.
And I got 26 points. I got 8 field goals and 1 safety.
Yeah.
So we're kind of going unconventional tonight.
Ryan, we'll talk to you tomorrow and see how this plays out, and we'll recap it with you tomorrow, 8:20.
All right. Enjoy the game tonight.
You too. That's Ryan Wood joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. If you're looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019, look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local, common sense lending to your community since 1935. We will continue to preview this matchup. Dan Miller, voice of the Lions, 9:15. But then don't forget, tomorrow we will review this matchup, not just with Ryan Wood, Leroy Butler also, 7 o'clock tomorrow. Mike Clemens in there as well.
I have a feeling Ryan Wood there didn't take us seriously on our picks.
Well, why not? Eight field goals and a safety? Yeah, what's wrong with that?
That's happened before. Hey, the Packers lost a game in Dallas one time when the Cowboys kicked 7 field goals.
Yeah, Chris Boniel.
Yeah. How about that? A Monday night game, too, in 96.
God, I hate Monday Night Football. I used to love it. We used to get, no matter what high school, we would go over to my buddy's house. Doesn't matter the game. We'd get Taco Bell at halftime. Yeah. I'd get two nacho cheese chalupas, well, chicken.
The complaint on Monday Night Football for years was start the games earlier because they were at 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
But now they are starting a bit earlier, but I feel like they're ending at the same time.
Well, the matchup is no good, and the announcers are the worst in sports. We're going to go through this coming up. I've been waiting all morning to just shred Joe Tessitore from the inside.
Well, here's the deal. Monday Night Football, remember when they tried to pump up ratings several years ago, 15, 20 years ago, by getting a celebrity in the booth, and they got Dennis Miller, and then they eventually...
Yeah, they should do that
Kornheiser.
Again. Do that again.
I don't know. I mean, I just feel like the presentation that ESPN puts on there isn't the same, and it's the same company, isn't what like ABC used to. When it was on ABC, Sunday night you feel it's a big game when it's on NBC. I don't get that same feel on Monday Night Football.
Well,
right
and
now.
I know why, and it's more than just Joe Tessitore, and we'll talk about that coming up. Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins here on The Fan.
Sports Flash right now.
From the 105.7 FM The Fan Sports Update Studio, I'm Ryan Horvath. First on The Fan, the Packers and Lions will play for sole possession of first place in the NFC North tonight. Green Bay will be without star wideout Devontae Adams. He'll miss his second straight game with turf toe. Rookie first-round safety Darnell Savage Jr. will also miss his first game of his career with an ankle injury he suffered against the Cowboys last Sunday. Post-game coverage to follow here on The Fan with Bill Michaels and former Packer and Badger Gary Ellerson. Elsewhere around the NFC North on Sunday, Kirk Cousins threw 3 of his 4 touchdown passes to Stephon Diggs while racking up a season-high 333 yards in the air. Minnesota wins that one 38-20 over the Eagles. The Vikings now 4-2 on the season. The Eagles fall to 3-3. The Bears are idle around the league. Sam Darnold returned from mono. He leads the Jets to a 24-22 win over the Cowboys. Darnold threw for 2 touchdowns in that win. Panthers top the Bucs 37-26. 49ers remain unbeaten with a 20-7 win over the Rams. Teddy Bridgewater also remains undefeated as starting quarterback of the Saints. They win 13-6 over Jacksonville. Over in Major League Baseball yesterday, the Astros even their series with the Yankees with a 3-2 walk-off win in 11 innings in the ALCS. Preseason hoops, the Bucs now a perfect 4-0 on the season after a 115-108 victory over the Wizards last night. Chris Middleton scored 22 points in the victory. Read more online at 1057fmthefan.com. The update brought to you by the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer. Is your family ready for cold and flu season? Knowing when it's the flu lets you know when to call your doctor. The flu brings a fever, so be prepared with a thermometer you could trust, the Exergen Temporal Scanner, backed by more than 70 clinical studies. I'm Ryan Horvath, Sports Radio, 1057 FM, The Fan, Milwaukee's number one sports talk station. Listen live anywhere. Download the radio.com app. Favorite The Fan today. Do you still enjoy Monday Night Football? Bart's going to tell you why he does not. Next on Chuck and Winkler, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Yeah, I think when you're as old as I am and you played in this league for so long, you really do enjoy the noon Sunday games. Just based on the schedule, allows you to kind of get into a week rhythm. But when you're also a lover of the game and a historian of the game, and you grew up watching, you know, Frank, Al, and Dan on Monday Night Football, and John Madden and Al Michaels on Monday Night Football, and Dennis Miller when he was there, and you're loving the history of the opportunity to play on Monday Night Football, it's a special thing. Fun playing at home, obviously, it's better. It's long days, Sunday and Monday for sure. And a short week the following week, but it is always special playing on Monday Night Football.
I just, as a kid, man, when it was Monday and the Packers were on Monday Night Football, that was the first thing that I would check when the schedule came out is how many Monday Night Football games do the Packers have? I'm Bart Winkler, that's Chuck Freeman, Ryan Horvath, and you guys at 799-1250. Where has the luster gone from Monday Night Football, and can ESPN or ABC or whatever they're doing with the broadcast, can they get that back? 414-799-1250. Roger's talking about it. You know, what's special about playing on Monday Night Football? And he brings up things from the past and
of course, we all know Howard Cosell, and he broke the news of John Lennon's death, and there were fewer channels back then, and maybe it was the only game you could watch, blah, blah, et cetera, et cetera. We all, I mean, we've had that conversation a million times. But it sucks now. How can they make it not suck more now, Chuck? I think that they're screwed.
Yeah, and people talked about having better games, better matchups. I don't know. I mean, they used to have bad matchups back when Monday Night Football was on ABC, and somehow they made it a big-time presence. I don't know.
Like
I
last mean, night. Last night, Sunday Night Football was probably the only week that the Sunday night game is going to be worse than the Monday night game. But I don't know what they did last night. They made that crappy game feel like a big-time matchup.
From the studio show all the way up to the presentation of the game.
From trying
post-game.
To make Duck Hodges a thing last night.
They do. And but I'm telling you, for some reason, I feel when the game isn't on... I just want to, when a game is on standard TV, one of the three networks, ABC, CBS, NBC, even Fox, I'm not a big Fox guy, just the presentation seems different than when it's on the four-letter network. I can't, even
ESPN.
You could put the national championship game on ESPN, and it doesn't seem the same as if it's on ABC.
I agree with that.
I don't know what it is. And Sunday Night Football, even when Sunday Night Football was on ESPN, when Mike Patrick and Theismann, two guys, great calling the games, but when Sunday Night Football was on ESPN, yeah, you didn't have a big time feel. But all of a sudden you put NBC doing Sunday Night, and that's a big deal.
I just hate when people say the four letter network so much.
Well, I don't know if we're gonna get in trouble for it. As I'm just saying, I just
Bill says it all the time.
I hear it said
have
so much.
Bill's
I feel like
affiliates are ESPN.
I feel like we say it so much as like did I miss the memo that we can't say it? So, but
the four letter network. Yeah. HGTV?
No. But when the game was on Sunday night, when ESPN had the Sunday night game, you didn't think it didn't have that big game of feel. But Monday night did, but you flip-flop the two and you put network TV on Sunday night and ESPN on Monday night, it seems like it's got a different feel about it. I don't understand.
Well, ESPN, they're paying $1.9 million for the rights to broadcast the NFL, and ESPN wants to do that.
Billion or a million?
Billion.
Billion.
Did I say million?
Yeah, you said millions. Billion.
Oh, I was trying to relate to...
Us three might be able to afford the Monday Night Football rights if it was $1.5 million.
Well, how hot Horvat's been.
Yeah.
Gambling. $1.9 billion. And ESPN's been in a weird relationship with the NFL the last few years where it's like they don't want to alienate any of these. They can't talk about the China thing. They don't want to make the NBA mad. They can't talk about Kaepernick. They don't want to make the NFL mad, you know. So they just want to keep these games because what happens is they can charge cable providers more money because they've got an NFL package and people want to watch NFL. Now, quick aside, if you don't have cable, you can watch the game on Channel 12 tonight. These games, because they're on cable, NFL rules, they have to be locally shown. I'm sure Channel 12's not complaining. You get a kind of a freebie game for them. So you can watch it even if you don't have cable, at least in the Milwaukee and Green Bay areas. But the problem is that it did change where Sunday night became the premier game and ESPN kind of became an afterthought. And now even with the Thursday night games, when Thursday night started consistently, it was a poor game. But then Fox was like, hey, let's give me some better games. We'll pay more money. And I feel like the week starts on Thursday. I get more excited. It's a better game. Then you've got the games all day Sunday. And by the time Monday rolls around, you're like, oh, well, yeah, we have another game tonight. And then it's just usually a poor game. Tonight happens to be better because the Packers are playing better than people thought, and so are the Lions. So tonight is a unique circumstance where it's not just the degenerates, the gamblers, the fantasy football players that are watching this game tonight.
Yeah, and it's weird how it's that way. I feel you could put Al Michaels and John Madden doing ESPN, Monday Night Football, and it wouldn't be the same as if they were on ABC. It just wouldn't. You could move the broadcast crew from Sunday night. You could put Michaels and Collinsworth on Monday night, and it wouldn't be the same. So I don't know if it's the broadcasters. Joe Tessitore, I look at him and I look at him as a college football broadcaster. He's a terrific announcer. I don't feel there's any jocularity in the booth. You know, it just seems like it's a real serious broadcast. It's forced humor sometimes. It's not a real fun broadcast to watch.
Here's a example from earlier this season. The audio could be better, but you should be able to pick it up just fine as you're driving to work today or on the radio.com app.
Booger McFarland, this is like the fourth quarter of a game the Bengals lost to the Steelers. And Booger is talking about how Booger McFarland, who does the color tonight, a lot of times it seems like he's trying to, he doesn't want to alienate anybody, and he's trying to like impress everybody. Like, hey, I'm a good guy. I like your team. So the Bengals are 0-4 at this time, and he talks about how great the Bengals are. And then again, it's the fourth quarter. While this is happening, the Steelers end up converting a third down, and Joe Tessitore makes it sound like they just won the Super Bowl.
It's a tough night for the Red Right.
About 17-30. Had the interception moments ago on fourth and goal.
But I do like what Zach Taylor is doing here in Cincinnati. I like what they're building. It's going to take some time. Ownership will give him time. I like the energy that Zach Taylor brought from the West Coast to the East Coast.
Here's a third and nine for Mason Rudolph as he gets it to Samuels, who cuts to the outside and dives ahead for that marker.
Joe Tessitore tried to make every play sound like it's the greatest thing ever. This is from the Packers-Niners game last year. 6 minutes in the second quarter to go. Niners score a touchdown on the play to take the lead, but was it really this exciting?
Shows you what kind of kid he is, though. Good run by Mostert. And Juszczyk being able to go backside and cut that ball, that backside off.
Beathard. Play action. In rhythm. You said it. And there he is. Goodwin. Touchdown.
The Monday Night Football broadcast feels like two things to me. It feels like these guys want to have a talk show. Because listen to the game tonight. They will touch on everything that happened. They will do 2 minutes on the Chiefs. They'll do 3 minutes on the Cowboys. They will go away from calling the game to do their little PTI Chuck and Winkler talk show. The other thing is when they are calling the game, it's like they're auditioning. It's like they have a job that they need to get their resume tape in for tomorrow.
Well,
so they're doing all their big calls in the game in front of them. So, like, here's what's going to happen on a 9-yard run tonight.
Well,
and it's Kerryon Johnson, and he dashes to the outside, misses a defender. What? That is one of the most unbelievable runs you will ever see.
But that's just Tessitore's broadcast down.
Well, it's
he was that in the SEC.
Terrible.
Now
it sucks.
Now what
I hate
think,
it.
What they don't have in the booth right now, Gruden. People criticize Gruden for being too technical. We're talking about A gaps and B gaps, and you know all this football coach speak, and people thought he talked. But you know what? He was getting paid a lot of money. I think people liked Gruden, but the knock
Gruden
on him
was great.
The knock on him was he was too technical in the booth.
Well, one of the other things against him was he was also auditioning for a job, which he ended up getting because he wouldn't like go out of the way and really.
Boy, I don't know. I was convinced he wasn't leaving. I was convinced he was going to stay.
Yeah, but he didn't like super attack anybody. He was always finding the complimentary angles.
Yeah, but I just.
Booger's kind of doing the same thing.
I feel like, though, Gruden, he seemed like he was one of these guys because he didn't want to be any. He didn't want to be controversial. I'll give you that. But that the longer he stayed doing that, it sounded like I didn't feel like he was going back. He was comfortable doing his weekly gig. He'd still get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and watch film, just like in his coaching days. But he didn't feel the pressure of coaching anymore. And obviously, I was fooled. I thought he was done. I thought he was in broadcasting forever. He'll be back eventually. When things don't work out in Oakland, he'll be back to the broadcast booth.
I mean, Jason Witten hated these guys so much that he went back and played for the Cowboys.
Yeah.
He hated being in that booth.
Well, he got a little bit too much too quick. He shouldn't have been. They should have started him off doing some college football Saturday night games, third string games. I mean, to start a guy, his first broadcast assignment is to do Monday Night Football. That's a big ask of a guy who's never broadcasted before.
Tweet comes in and says, why don't you listen to Wayne and Larry tonight? I don't like to sync up the radio
too
and
tough.
The TV and
too tough.
You know what? I don't want to hear the Monday night call so bad. I might just go to the game. Maybe I'll just go to the game tonight.
It's gonna be cold out there tonight.
I don't care. I don't want to hear it.
It's gonna be cold out there, man.
I don't want to hear them.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll go to the game. It's Chuck and Winkler. We're back in 90 seconds. The game itself features the Packers and the Detroit Lions. Mike Clemens with an update.
Now, a green and gold update brought to you by Pottawatomie Hotel and Casino. It's all happening at Pottawatomie, Visit paysbig.com. In Green Bay, here's Mike Clemens.
It's the Packers and the Lions. Tonight on Monday Night Football, kickoff here at Lambeau Field at 7:15. The Lions will be without defensive lineman Mike Daniels, the former Packers out with a foot injury. Lions head coach Matt Patricia says tight end TJ Hockenson will play tonight. The big rookie tight end out of Iowa has been dealing with a concussion.
For a guy like TJ, really just trying to be observant with him. He loves football. He's all in on football. You know what I mean? He's just one of those kids that you appreciate that. Sometimes they're young guys, sometimes they're older guys. You got to almost protect them from themselves.
For the Packers, Devontae Adams is out with turf toe. Safety Darnell Savage has been ruled out. He's been in the training room with a sprained ankle.
I'm just listening to what those guys are telling me, just trying to do my rehab best I can and just working on it day by day, icing it, taking care of it, stuff like that.
So that means that number 25, Will Redmond, will likely take over tonight at safety.
Biggest thing is playing fast. You know what's coming. Proper preparation. Preparing like you're number one guy, you never know what's going to happen. So when it's your time, you know, you be ready.
One Lions player who always seems to have success against the Packers is wide receiver Marvin Jones.
I love playing at Lambeau Field. So they play the man-to-man, and, you know, they want their, you know, their guys to, you know, cover guys. So, and, you know, they try to turn the ball over. They, you know, that's what their whole defense does. They play tough football, so it'll be a good matchup.
Best Packers coverage on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios. We'll continue previewing Packers Lions. Michael Lombardi, Radio.com, Sports NFL Insider, in about 6 minutes. Dan Miller, voice of the Lions, in about 20 minutes. Just some other things that happened over the weekend I wanted to make sure everyone was aware of and bounce off you guys here a little bit. Did you see that a guy, and I'm not going to try to pronounce his name, sorry, but a guy finished a marathon over in Vienna under 2 hours.
Yeah, I saw him trash talking to the finish line.
Yeah, the NFL would have fined him for that, by the way. But he finished a marathon in under 2 hours. He averaged about 4 minutes, 25 seconds a mile over the 26.2 miles.
Well, that's better than the 12 minutes a mile I'm going to be doing on the treadmill later on today. That's for sure. And I think I thought I was going at a fast pace.
You got to at least break 10 minutes a mile.
Oh, not if you want to see me the next day.
Do you know the quickest mile you ever run? It's just a way for me to humble brag that mine was 5:10.
What?
Oh, yeah.
You ran a mile in 5 minutes?
No, actually, I ran a 2 mile in 11:10, which means I ran two miles in 5:05.
Okay.
Nah. High school.
No, man. I'm not even close.
MLB over the weekend, the Yankees and the Astros are tied at one apiece. The Nationals have a two-game lead over the Cardinals thanks to Seinfeld. Now, you may not be familiar. I know you didn't watch a lot of Seinfeld frames.
No.
But there's this episode where George Costanza decides to do the opposite of everything that he's ever done, and then his life turns up way better. So Adam Eaton at one point in game two was 0-for-3, and he gets to the plate and he goes, every time I thought they were going to throw a pitch, they did the opposite. So it was a 3-2 count, and I thought, they're going to throw a heater here. And I'm thinking, why don't I do the opposite like George Costanza? I'm going to sit on a breaking ball. He sat on a breaking ball, led to some runs. Nationals win. They go up 2-0.
How about that?
Washington, so he credits Seinfeld.
Look, Washington was 4 outs away from losing to the Brewers in the wild card. Now they're 2 wins away from going to the World Series. I mean, they were 3 outs away from, or 2 outs away from losing against the Dodgers. Rallied, won that game. I don't think St. Louis is done yet, though. They may have lost
They're
those
never
two
done.
Games.
No, they could, no. They could get swept and somehow still be playing in the Fall Classic.
Flaherty's pitching for St. Louis tonight. Although Strasburg, look, Nationals just keep throwing one guy. I mean, Scherzer the other day was great, but I would not count the Cardinals out just because they're going back to Washington. And Nationals Park is going to be on fire tonight with their crowd. But St. Louis, never counted the Cardinals.
And then lastly, in 2016, we were all heartbroken when Mary Harden Baylor beat UW Oshkosh in the Division III championship.
Mm-hmm.
That crown has been vacated because the NCAA found that the coach of Mary Harden Baylor lent his car to a player for a year and a half.
Okay, ridiculous that you should lose your title that way. But good. So we're going to crown my buddy, Pat Cerrone, the coach at Oshkosh?
No. The vacating of the title means that no one is recognized as the 2016
champion. Pat Cerrone?
Nope.
Catholic Memorial graduate?
That's how it
works. Friend of mine, champion.
It never happened.
National champion.
Just like how we think the games against the Lions the last 2 years never happened.
Yeah, but if a title gets vacated, it should go to the other team.
Nope.
Should go to the other team.
The game never happened. It was all for nothing.
Although in the NCAA tournament this year, well, Virginia won it, so one thing you say about Bennett, he wasn't cheating. But if they did the cheating in college football, Wisconsin may have a couple of titles.
It's Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. More on Packers Lions. Michael Lombardi joins us straight ahead.
Process of elimination.
We'll also talk to Dan Miller, voice of the Lions, coming up in 15 minutes. Chuck and Winkler, we continue our day-long Packers pregame show here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.